June 7th, 1989, Beverly Hills, California. 23-year-old Adam Hecht, the son of a famous Hollywood producer, is seen driving away from his apartment in a rental car, but he never returns, and the car is found abandoned weeks later. Prior to his disappearance, Adam had befriended a homeless man named Tony and developed a fascination with the homeless population while becoming disillusioned with his own privileged lifestyle. After Adam goes missing, Tony is discovered to be residing in his apartment, but there is no evidence that he was involved in Adam's disappearance, and no trace of him is ever found. After that, the trail went cold. Hello everyone, and welcome to our latest episode of The Trail Went Cold. I'm your host, Robin Order, and this week, we're going to be exploring one of the most unique missing persons cases ever featured on Unsolved Mysteries, the 1989 disappearance of Adam Hecht. This is the story about a young man who hailed from a wealthy family in Beverly Hills, as his father had once been a successful Academy Award-winning film producer. However, it seemed apparent that Adam was starting to become disillusioned with his privileged lifestyle, and the major turning point seemed to be when he became friends with a homeless man known only as Tony. In fact, the relationship became so close that Adam allowed Tony to move into his apartment with him, and he started spending more time hanging around the city's homeless population. Naturally, when Adam turned up missing, Tony initially found himself under a cloud of suspicion, but while law enforcement never found any evidence that Tony was involved in Adam's disappearance, the problem is that they couldn't find much in the way of evidence at all. However, they couldn't discount the possibility that Adam decided to voluntarily walk away and leave his old life behind. But if that's what occurred, what ultimately happened to him, and where has he been for the past 34 years? As you can imagine, since the Unsolved Mysteries segment about this story is quite memorable, I've received a number of requests to cover it since the inception of The Trail Went Cold, but a major stumbling block was that there did not appear to be much information available about the case outside Unsolved Mysteries. Well, I frequently use this podcast as an opportunity to plug a website called lostandfoundblogs.com, which is run by a friend of mine under the username CrystalDawn, who publishes extensive articles about missing persons cases, some of which were featured on Unsolved Mysteries. These articles will often contain exclusive details about the cases which you will not find anywhere else, and that certainly applies to their article about Adam Hecht's disappearance. CrystalDawn was able to speak with a number of people associated with the case and learn some new information which caused me to look at certain things in a bit of a different light. And since last week officially marked the 34-year anniversary of when Adam went missing, I thought now would be an ideal time to do a podcast episode. Anyway, before we get started, just a quick reminder that The Trail Went Cold is a weekly podcast, which is currently available for download on several platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. So if you like this podcast, be sure to subscribe to it, and please leave us a rating or review on any of those sites to help spread the word and garner us more exposure. The Trail Went Cold is on Patreon, so if you would like to learn how to support the show, please visit our page at patreon.com/thetrailwentcold. For as little as $1 a month, you can garner access to exclusive rewards, including stickers and thank you cards, early access to episodes, and bonus content. So with all that out of the way, let us now explore the disappearance of Adam Hecht. Our story begins in Beverly Hills, California, an affluent suburb located just over 12 miles northwest of downtown Los Angeles, and our central figure is 23-year-old Adam Hecht. Adam hails from a wealthy and privileged background, as his father, Harold Hecht, was once a very prominent and successful Hollywood film producer. I'll be sharing more details about Harold's background later on in this episode, but after having three children in his first marriage, which ended in divorce, he became involved with an English model/actress named Martine Milner. Even though Harold was 55 years old at the time, and Martine was 29 years younger than him, the couple got married in 1962 and would go on to have three children together. Two sons named Harold Jr. and Adam, and a daughter named Rebecca. Harold Sr. and Martine divorced in 1974, but she was able to retain possession of their house, and the court ordered him to pay her $4,000 in monthly financial support. On May 26, 1985, Harold Sr. died of pancreatic cancer at the age of 77. Martine and her three children continued living their upper-class lifestyle in Beverly Hills and maintained close relationships with each other. Throughout high school, Adam was known for being an exceptional athlete who particularly excelled in tennis, so following his graduation, he started making his living by giving tennis lessons to prominent families and moved into his own apartment on Camden Drive. Adam was described as being a very bright, friendly, and independent young man, but according to his brother, Harold Jr., a major turning point for him occurred on January the 10th, 1989. That morning, Adam and Harold Jr. went to breakfast together at a Beverly Hills delicatessen, but as they walked inside, Adam seemed to take note of a black man standing on the sidewalk who appeared to be homeless and blind in one eye. According to Harold, shortly after they sat down, Adam suddenly decided to excuse himself and step outside. When Harold looked out the window, he saw Adam strike up a conversation with the homeless man. They spoke for a few minutes, and when Adam went back inside, he wouldn't tell Harold what they had talked about. After the two brothers finished their breakfast and left the delicatessen, they went their separate ways, but as Harold headed towards his parked car, he looked back and saw Adam chatting with the homeless man again. Adam would later reveal that the man's name was Tony, and told Harold that he believed Tony was a good person who was down on his luck, so he wanted to help him out. Indeed, Adam seemed to develop a strong interest in the area's homeless population, as he took the initiative to deliver them food on the streets and volunteered at the Los Angeles Mission. He also started developing a close friendship with Tony, and one night, Adam took his mother Martine by complete surprise when he showed up at her house for dinner and brought Tony along with him. Even though Martine invited Tony inside, she was concerned about the whole situation, particularly after she noticed Tony waving his hands over his food while they were eating. Concern grew among the Hecht family when they learned that Adam had invited Tony to crash at his apartment, and they seemed to notice a change in his personality, but he assured them that Tony was helping him mature as a person. It also turned out that Adam was staying out late at night and accompanying Tony on trips to Skid Row, a neighborhood in downtown Los Angeles which is known for having one of the largest homeless populations in the United States. Following one of these outings, Adam showed his family some burn scars on his right hand, which he claimed he had received while performing a mystical ritual with Tony. Adam described it as a quote-unquote test of endurance, as Tony apparently told him that it would make him stronger. It was apparent that Adam was becoming increasingly disillusioned with his wealthy and privileged lifestyle, and sometime in early June, Adam and Harold had an extensive conversation about the situation. Harold described Adam as being vulnerable, and he seemed to be having internal struggles about the meaning of life, but was reluctant to open up about it. Harold assured his brother that he would always be there for him no matter what, but this would turn out to be the last conversation they ever had. On June the 7th, Adam was seen leaving his apartment in Beverly Hills. While he owned a BMW, the vehicle was being repaired at that time, so Adam drove away in a rental car. However, he never returned, and after not being able to reach him for several days, Harold decided to pay a visit to Adam's apartment on June the 10th. Adam's rental car was not parked outside, and when Harold knocked on the apartment door, he was surprised when Tony answered. There was still no sign of Adam, and when Harold attempted to ask Tony where Adam was, he only responded with vague answers and refused to let Harold inside. A few days later, after Harold informed his mother about what was going on, Martine decided to visit Adam's apartment and discovered that Tony was still there. Tony started acting very strangely as he attempted to put his arms around Martine and kiss her. When Martine asked him where her son was, Tony replied, quote, "I'm your son." The Hecht family was left so concerned by the situation that they hired a private investigator to search for Adam. He advised them to contact the Beverly Hills Police Department to officially report Adam missing and arrange to have Tony evicted from Adam's apartment. The eviction finally took place on July the 9th, but Tony did not put up any resistance or attempt to avoid the police when they took him in for questioning. Tony maintained that he had no idea where Adam was, and since there was no evidence that he had done anything wrong, investigators reached the conclusion that Tony was probably not involved in Adam's disappearance, so he was released from custody. Adam's abandoned rental car would eventually be found on a side street in Beverly Hills, though sources differ on whether it was found 2 weeks or 1 month after Adam originally went missing. Regardless, since the car had a number of parking tickets on the windshield, it had obviously been sitting there for a lengthy period of time. The keys were still in the ignition, and a number of Adam's personal possessions, including his wallet, driver's license, credit cards, and $600 in cash and checks, were still inside the vehicle. Even though the Hecht family feared that Adam had become the victim of foul play, there was no evidence that a crime took place, and the Beverly Hills PD seemed to lean towards his disappearance being voluntary. However, even though the private investigator hired by the Hechts chased down a number of leads, he failed to turn up any trace of Adam or any conclusive evidence that he was still alive. At one point, Harold had a chance encounter with Tony when he bumped into him on the streets of Beverly Hills. Harold once again asked Tony if he knew what happened to his brother, and Tony only provided such cryptic responses as, quote, "Look around Beverly Hills, look around, and you'll see something." Well, on October the 17th, 1990, Adam's story would be featured on an episode of Unsolved Mysteries after Harold contacted them to bring the case to their attention. Since he had a lengthy career as a Hollywood actor, Robert Stack was actually a personal friend of the Hecht family. At one point, he spoke to Harold to tell him how sorry he was about his brother's disappearance and said it was his pleasure to feature Adam's story on the show and hoped it would help lead to a resolution. Harold was actually present at the Unsolved Mysteries Telecenter on the night Adam's segment aired, but even though a number of tips came in, none of them brought the authorities any closer to finding Adam. Sadly, since the Hecht family were well off financially, they were forced to chase down a number of false leads from opportunists looking to profit off them. A few years after Adam went missing, Harold Jr. and his half-brother Duffy, one of Harold Sr.'s children from his first marriage, received word that Tony was in jail. They both decided to pay him a visit, and even though they offered Tony money for information about Adam's disappearance, he didn't seem interested in accepting it and continued to deny any knowledge about what happened to him. The case eventually faded from the spotlight, but in February of 2019, the website lostandfoundblogs.com published an extensive article about Adam's disappearance containing new information which had never been released publicly. As part of her research, the author, Crystal Dawn, spoke with Harold and Duffy, as well as the current lead investigator on the case, Detective Sergeant Chris Coulter of the Beverly Hills Police Department. While Coulter could not share too much about certain aspects of the investigation, he did confirm that the case was still open and Tony was still alive at this point, and the police were aware of his current whereabouts. An interesting new angle which Harold shared in this article involved a former friend of Adam's named Andrew Gombiner. During the 1980s, Andrew had run a tutoring business and tutored Adam while he was in high school, which led to them becoming close friends. Andrew eventually became a real estate broker, but Harold said that he was involved in some questionable real estate deals and that he may have been manipulating Adam and scamming him out of money. At one point, Adam convinced his mother to invest over $100,000 in a limited partnership apartment complex which was being managed by Andrew, but the whole deal went south, so Martine and a number of other people, including Andrew's own father, wound up losing the money they invested. It's been alleged that Andrew misrepresented the whole venture, and while there's nothing to indicate that it had any direct connection to Adam's disappearance, it may have been one of the factors which caused Adam to become disillusioned with his life. During the article, Harold stated that after all these years, he was no longer inclined to believe that Adam was the victim of foul play. He now felt that Adam may have grown tired of his wealthy lifestyle and disappeared voluntarily, though what actually happened to him afterwards was still a big mystery. In regards to Tony, Harold now expressed his belief that he had no knowledge or involvement in Adam's disappearance. He even confirmed that he still continued to see Tony living on the streets of Beverly Hills and had last encountered him only a few years earlier. Well, in September of 2019, 7 months after their original article about Adam was published, Lost and Found blog shared their own Unsolved Mysteries-esque update. Believe it or not, while driving through Beverly Hills, Harold recently had a chance encounter with Tony where he noticed him walking outside the police department, so he decided to pull over to strike up a conversation with him. Harold even took some pictures of Tony which were published on the blog, marking the first time that photos of him had ever been shared on the internet. Harold described Tony as being polite, and even though Tony did not seem to remember him, Harold said that Tony immediately remembered Adam when he mentioned his name. Tony confirmed that the last time he saw Adam was at his apartment, and when asked if he believed Adam had come to any harm, Tony replied, quote, "I don't think so." Harold seemed to think that Tony was sincere with his answers, further cementing his belief that Tony had nothing to do with his brother's disappearance. However, Adam's ultimate fate continues to remain a mystery, and after 34 years, there are no conclusive answers about what happened to him. So I guess you could say, the trail went cold. So I mentioned in the intro that other than the Unsolved Mystery segment and Lost and Found blogs, there's very little information available about this case online. In fact, if you go to newspapers.com and do a search for Adam Heck's name, most of the matches will be Los Angeles Times articles from the early 1980s displaying the results of tennis tournaments that Adam competed in. You will find virtually no news articles which actually discuss Adam's disappearance, which is somewhat surprising, given that he hailed from a fairly prominent upper-class family. While Adam's father, Harold Heck Sr., was already deceased by the time he went missing, he was one of the top film producers in Hollywood during the 1950s and 60s. Now, I'm sure most of our listeners know that in addition to my devout interest in true crime, I'm also a hardcore movie fanatic, so I thought I would share some more background information about Harold Sr.'s career. Harold spent several years working in Hollywood and on Broadway as a dance director, and following World War II, he decided to open up his own talent agency. His most promising client was an up-and-coming actor named Burt Lancaster, who would soon become one of Hollywood's biggest movie stars, as well as a close friend and business partner of Harold's. In 1948, the two men decided to form their own production company called Norma Productions, named after Lancaster's wife at the time. They would later change the company's name to Hecht Lancaster and produce some very notable films during the 1950s, many of which starred Lancaster, including Vera Cruz, Sweet Smell of Success, Run Silent, Run Deep, and Separate Tables. However, the company's greatest success was the 1955 character drama Marty, starring Ernest Borgnine, which took home 4 Academy Awards, including Best Picture. In fact, if you search on YouTube, you can actually find a clip of Harold appearing on stage to collect the Best Picture Oscar from presenters Jerry Lewis and Audrey Hepburn and deliver an acceptance speech. The final film produced by Hecht Lancaster was the 1962 prison drama Birdman of Alcatraz, where Lancaster portrayed Robert Stroud, a real-life convicted murderer who developed a fascination with studying birds while he was incarcerated. Of course, the movie's plot is heavily fictionalized, since Stroud actually studied birds while serving time at the Leavenworth Penitentiary in Kansas and was not allowed to keep any birds in his cell after he was transferred to Alcatraz. If you want to play a game of 6 Degrees of Unsolved Mysteries, the show's special on the infamous 1962 escape from Alcatraz contained a brief section referencing Robert Stroud and Birdman of Alcatraz, and ironically enough, that film was released theatrically only 3 weeks after the Alcatraz escape took place. And when Unsolved Mysteries aired their Alcatraz special in February of 1989, I don't think they would have envisioned that the son of the producer of Birdman of Alcatraz would go missing just 3 months later and eventually be profiled on the show. Anyway, following the release of Birdman of Alcatraz, Harold would form his own production company, the Harold Hecht Corporation, and produce a couple more notable films, the most successful of which was probably the 1965 Western comedy Cat Ballou, featuring an Academy Award-winning performance from Lee Marvin. It's also worth mentioning that two of Harold's children went on to follow in his footsteps and become producers themselves. Duffy, Harold's son from his first marriage, produced a couple of feature films in the early to mid-2000s, including King of the Ants and Edmund, which were both directed by horror filmmaker Stuart Gordon. Harold Jr. tried to break into the movie business around the time Adam went missing, and worked as the assistant to legendary director John Frankenheimer on two of his films. However, Harold Jr. found his niche as a producer of televised sports, and wound up winning 3 Emmy Awards for his work. Appropriately enough, given how much Adam excelled at the sport, many of the TV broadcasts Harold Jr. produced were tennis events, such as the US Open. If you're wondering about the rest of Adam's immediate family, his sister Rebecca is now running a bakery department at a grocery store, and as far as I can tell, his mother Martine is still alive and in her mid-80s. So I previously mentioned that Robert Stack was a personal friend of the Hecht family, so I'm sure this was one of the cases in Unsolved Mysteries which particularly affected him. Even though Adam's disappearance did not seem to garner a lot of media coverage, I can definitely understand why people are still talking about it 3 decades later, since the Unsolved Mysteries segment is so memorable. But of course, I think that certain elements may have been sensationalized. For instance, there's a reenactment of the scene where Adam and Tony are sitting next to a burning candle and supposedly performing this mystical ritual together, which led to Adam's hand being burned. While there's no direct reference to Satanism, this section does have the feel of 1980s Satanic Panic. But of course, one thing about this segment that really stands out is actor Scott Lawrence's portrayal of Tony during the reenactments, as I would rank this as one of the best performances on Unsolved Mysteries. Whenever the show produced a segment, they would usually hire non-professional local actors who just happened to live in the locations where their stories took place, but much like Matthew McConaughey, Scott Lawrence was one of the rare actors they found who went on to have an extensive career in Hollywood. At the time he appeared on Unsolved Mysteries, Lawrence was just starting out, but at the time of this recording, he currently has over 140 credits to his name on his profile page at the Internet Movie Database. He is probably best known for his role as Commander Sturgis Turner on the TV series JAG, but also appeared on such shows as Fear the Walking Dead, 24, Law and Order, and American Horror Story, and had roles in a number of prominent films, including Avatar, Star Trek Into Darkness, The Host, and The Social Network. Hell, he has also followed in James Earl Jones' footsteps by providing the voice of Darth Vader in a number of Star Wars video games. Lawrence's portrayal of Tony is so convincing that you'd almost have thought that Unsolved Mysteries pulled a real homeless guy off the streets for the reenactments. The show goes out of its way to make Tony appear as creepy as possible by doing things like playing ominous music over the scene where he tries to kiss Martine and says he's her son. You can definitely understand why many people would be left with the impression that Tony played some sort of role in Adam's disappearance, but after all these years, it sounds like the Hecht family have concluded that Tony probably does not know anything and is completely innocent. Anytime I've seen Scott Lawrence pop up in a film or TV show, I always associate him with Tony, which is why it was nice to finally see a photograph of the real Tony in the Lost and Found blogs article. I've mentioned countless times that during its earliest seasons, it wasn't uncommon for Unsolved Mysteries to have the real people from their stories portray themselves during the reenactments, even if they were bereaved family members dealing with the trauma of a missing or murdered loved one. That definitely takes place here, as Martine and Harold Jr. both appear in a number of reenactments, and I cannot imagine how surreal it must have been for them to relive these moments from their lives alongside actors who were portraying Adam and Tony. But it gives these scenes a sense of realism and authenticity, which you just don't find on true crime shows which are made today. However, the drawback is that the Hecht family are what I consider to be some of the most unfairly maligned people ever featured on Unsolved Mysteries. For whatever reason, when you search through online discussions about this case, you'll find some unflattering and mean-spirited comments which describe the Hecht as coming across as snobby and elitist whenever they're talking about Adam's friendship with Tony and his interest in the homeless population. But I really don't think that's a fair assessment, because just put yourselves in their shoes. If Adam suddenly showed up at your front door for dinner with a strange guy he had found on the street and then said he was letting him crash at his apartment, wouldn't you be a bit concerned? According to Crystal Dawn's article at Lost and Found Blogs, Harold Jr. and Duffy could not have been nicer or more gracious when she spoke to them about the case, and the entire family went all out and tried to do everything in their power to find Adam after he went missing. While there's a lot to indicate that Adam may have become disillusioned with his lifestyle, it sounds like the Hecks were a very close and tight-knit family unit, and prior to his disappearance, Harold Jr. made it clear to his brother that no matter what he was going through, they would always be there for him. One thing I've always been curious about is what kind of relationship that Adam had with his father, Harold Sr., before he passed away in 1985. Adam was still a kid when his mother and father got divorced, and since he was described as being a very good-hearted person, I wonder if he felt guilt over the fact that he was born into privilege because his mother happened to marry a wealthy Hollywood producer, while many other people were forced to struggle and survive on the streets. During the Unsolved Mystery segment, one of the detectives makes a remark about how in the past, Adam had occasionally gone away for a few days at a time, but he always returned. He didn't share any more specific details, but perhaps these may have been signs of Adam's increasing disillusionment, and this time around, he made the decision to go away and not return. Now, since only a limited number of hard facts about this case have been made public, it's probably inevitable that online discussions are going to be filled with a lot of wild, unconfirmed speculation. One theory I've often seen is that Adam may have developed some sort of drug habit which played a role in his disappearance, and this could have been the source of the burn on his hand rather than a so-called mystical ritual. As far as I can tell, Adam's family do not believe he was ever involved in any drugs, but since he lives separately from them in his own apartment, I'm sure they can't completely rule out the possibility. But if Adam did want to score drugs, as a rich kid from Beverly Hills, I'm sure there would have been much safer ways to obtain them other than befriending a homeless guy who lived on the streets. Another theory I've seen pushed forward is that Adam may have been secretly gay or bisexual and picked up Tony for some sort of sexual relationship. In fact, I've seen some comments online about how Tony was known for being a gay sex worker in Beverly Hills during that time period, but I don't know where this information is coming from, since it's never been corroborated by any official source. I've also seen commenters state that Tony suffered from paranoid schizophrenia and act like this is a confirmed fact. While Tony obviously had issues which made it difficult for him to take care of himself, there has never been any official diagnosis on any mental illness he may have had. We've also never learned his last name, and I get the impression that Tony is not actually his real name either. We also don't know anything about Tony's background or what kind of life he had before he started living on the streets. During Crystal Dawn's conversation with the Beverly Hills PD in 2019, they were very secretive when discussing the case, but they did confirm that they were aware of Tony's current whereabouts, so there's a good chance they do know his real name. I think the biggest point in favor of Tony's innocence is that if he did kill Adam, I believe it would have been very difficult for someone like him to dispose of Adam's body so thoroughly that no trace of him has been found in over 3 decades. It would also make no sense for him to keep hanging around Adam's apartment for weeks until the police arrived, particularly after Harold and Martine showed up there trying to find him. We have no idea what kind of questioning Tony underwent with the Beverly Hills PD at that time, but it sounds like he would go back and forth between being coherent and saying things which didn't make much sense. But whatever Tony said to the police, it sounds like they were pretty convinced he had no involvement in Adam's disappearance. I'd like to assume police performed a thorough search of Adam's apartment after Tony was evicted, but found no real evidence that foul play had taken place there. So let's look at the timeline. Even though Adam was not officially reported missing until weeks after the fact, all the missing persons website out there list the last date he was confirmed to be alive as June 7, 1989. He was apparently seen leaving his apartment that day in a rental car he was driving, though it's never been confirmed if this account was provided by Tony or some other independent eyewitnesses. But when Harold reconnected with Tony and spoke to him a few years ago, Tony stated that the last time he saw Adam was at his apartment. So assuming that Tony is telling the truth, this means that something happened to Adam after he left on June the 7th, and the only two real options are that he disappeared voluntarily or became the victim of foul play by some unknown third party. We know that Adam's rental car was found in a side street weeks after he was last seen, and the number of parking tickets on the windshield indicated that it had been parked there for a while. The biggest piece of evidence against the foul play theory is that Adam's wallet was left behind with his credit card and $600 worth of cash and checks inside, so if someone murdered him, you'd think they would have at least gone to the trouble of taking his money. I wish we had more information about the location where the car was found, but it was apparently not too far from Adam's apartment. Since Adam had been spending time interacting with the homeless population on Skid Row, there was some concern that he was in way over his head and putting his life at risk, but I haven't heard anything to indicate his car was abandoned in a rough or dangerous neighborhood. If by chance, Adam was murdered by some homeless person he encountered, how did his car wind up at this spot? Would Tony, or any other homeless person, really have the wherewithal to drive his car there and abandon it, and then not bother to take his money? It also makes no sense for Adam to leave his keys in the ignition, unless, of course, he was planning to take off and had no intention of ever coming back. If Adam was not the victim of a random attack, there's also the question of who would have had a motive to harm him. The Lost and Found Blogs article was the first source which I've seen mention Adam's friendship with Andrew Gumbiner, who apparently caused Adam's mother and some other people to lose money in a shady real estate investment. After performing a Google search on Andrew Gumbiner's name, I discovered that he continued to work in real estate for years afterwards and opened up his own property management company, which has gotten nothing but one-star reviews on Yelp from people who had unflattering things to say about how the company operated. But even if Andrew had some questionable business practices and was a negative influence on Adam, that doesn't necessarily mean he would have crossed the line into murder, and I see no indication that law enforcement ever believed that Andrew had any connection to Adam's disappearance. However, it sounds like Adam and Andrew had a pretty close friendship for a while, so if Andrew scammed him out of money, this could have been yet another breaking point, which prompted Adam to walk away from his old life. Now, Harold Heck Sr. produced a number of prominent Hollywood movies during his heyday, and while he had no involvement in this particular film, I've always thought Adam's story was a bit reminiscent of the classic 1941 comedy Sullivan's Travels. Directed by Preston Sturges, Sullivan's Travels stars Joel McRae as John L. Sullivan, a film director who makes successful comedies but wants to change things up and direct a socially relevant drama. Sullivan decides that in order to make this film as accurate as possible, he needs to walk away from his upper-class lifestyle and spend some time living as a homeless transient in order to gain the proper life experience, though a number of things wind up going wrong during his experiment. Of course, I have no idea if Adam ever saw Sullivan's Travels or was even aware of the film, but I could see Adam deciding to follow a similar path as this character by walking away and starting a new life as a transient. I've also seen Adam's case get compared to the story of Chris McCandless, another young man from an upper-class family who decided to leave everything behind after he graduated college and travel the country leading a nomadic lifestyle until he died of starvation in the Alaskan wilderness. During their last conversation before Adam's disappearance, Harold said that his brother seemed to be struggling with trying to figure out the meaning of life, so perhaps on June the 7th, 1989, he finally decided he had enough and decided to take out his rental car and abandon it before he walked away. If he wanted to start from scratch, that would explain why he left all his money, credit cards, and identification behind. Of course, there are still a few holes in this theory. Even if Adam was dissatisfied with his life, he had developed a close relationship with Tony and given him a place to crash, so why not at least tell him what he was doing? Why leave Tony alone in his apartment to face potential suspicion from the police after Adam went missing? Hell, if Adam wanted to leave everything behind and start a nomadic lifestyle, why not bring Tony along with him for companionship? However, it's possible that Adam did tell Tony what he was doing and even told him he could stay in his apartment, but given Tony's mental state, he just did not understand what was happening and was unable to convey this information later on. And we really don't know what Adam's mental health was like at the time, so perhaps he suffered some sort of breakdown, which is why he made the brash decision to just take off and start over. But even if this is what occurred, it still doesn't explain what happened to Adam afterward. Unlike many other missing persons cases, I haven't heard much about any reported eyewitness sightings of Adam after he disappeared, as it almost seems like he just vanished into thin air. Over the years, Harold would have multiple chance encounters with Tony on the streets of Beverly Hills, so if Adam had decided to join the local homeless population, don't you think that one of his family members or anyone else who knew him may have bumped into Adam at some point these past 34 years? If Adam started living on the streets, the odds of him still being alive after all this time are not great. But let's not forget that Tony was confirmed to be alive as recently as 2019, so it is possible to survive under these conditions for a prolonged period of time. However, while a person like Tony may have had the necessary skills and experience to survive this long, it would have been a considerable challenge for someone like Adam, who is not used to this sort of lifestyle. It's also possible that Adam still could have disappeared voluntarily and then became the victim of foul play at a later time, but then what happened to his body? Adam's profile page at the Beverly Hills Police Department website states that he was interested in meditation, especially in mountain areas. So perhaps he pulled a Chris McCandless and decided to leave the big city in order to travel to some remote mountainous or wilderness area. But while there, he died of something like exposure or starvation, and his remains have just never been found. Another disturbing scenario is that Adam became so disillusioned with his life that he decided that suicide was the only option and elected to go through with it at a remote location where his body would never be recovered. Since there is so little evidence to work with in this case, there are just so many possibilities and you can't really rule anything out. If Adam had been living as a transient for a while before his life came to an end, we know he wasn't carrying any identification, so he may have become a John Doe somewhere, and no one has been able to figure out who he was and claim his body. Remember, even though the Hecht family put in a lot of effort trying to find Adam, he went missing during an era before the internet and websites like the Doe Network and Namus, so if he became an unidentified decedent, perhaps the authorities have yet to put two and two together. Well, even if Adam is no longer with us, his family would like to know what happened to him and recover his remains. When Harold was interviewed for Lost and Found blogs, it was apparent that he and the rest of Adam's loved ones find great comfort in the fact that there were so many strangers out there who knew who Adam was and still remembered him after all these years and wanted him to be found. Sure, this type of thing comes with the side effect of strangers sharing rampant, unfounded speculation about Adam and the rest of the family on the internet, but at least it keeps this case out there. That is the purpose of podcasts like this and websites like Lost and Found blogs, as we want to keep unsolved cold cases in the spotlight and hope this might eventually lead to a resolution someday. So if you happen to have any information about the disappearance of Adam Hecht, please contact the Beverly Hills Police Department at 310-550-4951. That's 310-550-4951. But if you just have your own thoughts about what happened, feel free to leave me a comment or send me an email to robin.warder@icloud.com. That's robin.warder@icloud.com. Another reminder that The Trail Went Cold is on Patreon, so please visit patreon.com/thetrailwentcold to learn how you can support our podcast and become eligible for some pretty neat rewards. This past month, I released an episode about the 1947 disappearance of Army Lieutenant Ray Hickingbotham, which was featured on Unsolved Mysteries, and explored the possibility that he was recruited by the government to start a new life under a new identity in order to perform some top-secret work for them. I've also dropped an exclusive bonus episode from my spin-off podcast, The Path Went Chilly, in which myself and my two co-hosts, Jules and Ashley, discuss the disappearances of Michael and Chucky Palmer, a pair of brothers who went missing 10 years apart at different locations in Alaska. And for our patrons in Tier 3, I've recorded another new audio commentary track, which can be played over a classic episode of Unsolved Mysteries. I just returned from CrimeCon UK in London, but I'll also be appearing at the regular CrimeCon event, which will be held from September the 22nd to the 24th at the World Center Marriott in Orlando, Florida. Our podcast has a specialized promo code which can be used to get a special 10% discount on tickets, so in order to do so, you can visit crimecon.com and use the special promo code COLD23. That's COLD23. The Trail Went Cold will also be appearing at the True Crime Podcast Festival, which is taking place from August the 25th to the 27th at the DoubleTree by Hilton Hotel in Austin, Texas. Once again, we've got a specialized promo code which you can use in order to get a 15% discount on tickets to the event, So if you would like to purchase tickets, please visit their website at truecrimepodcastfestival.com and use our promo code TRAIL. Once again, that's truecrimepodcastfestival.com and the promo code is TRAIL. I just wanted to give another shout out to my supporters at the Unsolved Mysteries message board at the Sitcoms Online forum and the Unresolved Mysteries subreddit. I need to provide a big thanks to Miguel Foote, who edits and assembles this podcast together for me, and Vince Nitro, who composes the eerie music you hear on every episode. If you haven't already, you can like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, or leave us a rating or review on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, or Spotify. So have yourselves a great week and join us next Wednesday for another brand new episode of The Trail Went Cold. We'll be right back.